We do Vision Sunday 2.0 because vision leaks. And we believe God's given us a mandate as a church, a vision as a church. And it's summed up in quite a simple way. And it's this, that our vision is to see lives transform. That's who we are. That's how what we exist to do. A number of years, the vision went like this. It was like we want to see Jesus glorified and lives transformed as we build the church. And we've sort of simplified it down to see transformed lives, or to see lives transformed, because I believe that's one of the great ways that Jesus is glorified. Yeah. As people come to Christ, as people give their lives to Jesus, as they encounter Him, then we'll see Jesus glorified. So we want to be a Jesus-glorifying church. Yeah. Oh, and I think I heard a bigger amen from Melbourne right then. We want to be a Jesus-glorifying church. Yeah. Okay, there we go. We're awake again. And we want to see lives transform. We want to see our sons and our daughters. We want to see our workmates. We want to see our neighbors. We want to see our parents. We want to see our friends. We want to see our enemies. We want to see everybody come into a relationship with Jesus Christ to discover the love that He has for us, to encounter Him, and on an ongoing basis to be transformed from glory to glory. I loved hearing Julie's testimony here today. And in Melbourne, you've heard testimonies as well about the power of transformation. Julie got saved in this church 19 years ago. She began to work for the church before she got saved. Some of you are wondering, what was the job she began to do? It wasn't the music director. That's okay. We didn't employ her to be a pastor. That's also okay. We needed a bookkeeper, and she had the skills and has been doing that ever since. And the transformation power of God has been working in her life and in thousands of lives already in our church. Our vision is transformed life. Our vision is not actually buildings. Buildings are really a part of what we want to have to facilitate the vision of our church, which is people having encounters with God and their life being transformed. So, but the buildings are important. There's something spiritual about buildings. There's something spiritual about land. The promise of God to Abraham was that I will give you land. And that promise, as children of Abraham, you and I are children of Abraham, and the promises of Abraham apply to us. And there's something significant when a family buys land and owns land. There's something significant when a church buys land and takes ground and gets into buildings. It's something symbolic about it. And so in our Vision Sunday 2.0, our goal is to make sure that as a church we're seeing people consistently encounter God, consistently come into the community of faith to grow strong spiritually. We want strong spiritual people, people who are prayer warriors, people who know how to get answers in prayer, people who know how to persevere in prayer, people who know how faith works in prayer. We want people who are strong in spirit. We want people who are soft in heart in a good way. It's always good to be soft in heart and thick in skin, as opposed to soft in skin and thick in heart. It's really good that we're ones who let the Spirit of God, or thick in the head, exactly. It's also really good that we're ones who let the Spirit of God not just get us born again, not just to come into relationship, but do a deep work in our heart of healing and transformation and forgiveness. And that journey is amazing. He renews our minds. Transformation is a lifetime journey until we get to heaven and we are perfected, body, soul, and spirit when we get to heaven. Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a work in progress. Come on, just tell them you're a transforming life. And so as I was thinking about Vision Sunday 2.0 today, the Lord really drew me to a passage of Scripture that I want to read out of Genesis 26 that really I must have probably preached more than any other passage, particularly in the first couple of years of when we became senior pastors. And I think I must have preached about a 20-week series on Genesis chapter 26. So I'm not going to preach a 20-week series on it this year, but I want to take us back there because I believe that in the seed of this Scripture, there are answers and things that God has for us as we as a church continue to go on this journey of the unfolding journey of the vision of God for our house coming to pass in multiple locations, the Sunshine Coast and Melbourne and the next location, which I reckon we'll talk about later on this year. Last year at Powerhouse, let me just tease you. Last year at Powerhouse Conference, David McCracken prophesied over our church. He said, you've got two locations, but I see in the next 12 months you conceiving the third location. And then even though it doesn't make sense to be planning a third location in the natural, it will provide strength like a threefold cord. He said, you're going to plant a church in another city. And so I can't wait. I feel like God's been speaking to us. I feel like there's something building. Just vision. This again is teaser Sunday. And so somewhere in the second half of the year, we'll talk, Melbourne, about where we're going to plant together now, because it's not just the Sunshine Coast planting. It'll be the Sunshine Coast and Melbourne combining together to plant a church somewhere over the rainbow, somewhere. Let's go to Genesis chapter 26 before you start throwing stones at me for being too teasing. When Isaac planted his crops that year, it was a year of famine, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 26. He harvested 100 times more grain that he planted, for the Lord blessed him. This is what God wants to do for every son and daughter, every follower of Jesus. He wants to bless us when we sow. So he acquired so many flocks of sheep and goats, herds of cattle and servants, that the Philistines, who are symbolic of the enemy, became jealous of him. So the Philistines filled up all of Isaac's wells with dirt. These were the wells that had been dug by the servants of his father Abraham. Finally, Abimelech, who was the king of these Philistines, ordered Isaac to leave the country. Go somewhere else, he said, for you've become too powerful for us. So Isaac moved away to the Gerar Valley, where he set up their tents and settled down, and he reopened the wells that his father had dug, which the Philistines had filled in after Abraham's death. Isaac also restored the names that Abraham had given them. Isaac's servants also dug in the Gerar Valley and discovered a well of fresh water. Sometimes you've got to dig when you're in a valley and discover new wells of life. Anyway, keep going. But then the shepherds from Gerar came, and they claimed the spring. This is our water, they said. And they argued over it with Isaac's herdsmen. So Isaac named the place Esek, which means argument or contention. There was contention. Everybody say contention. Melbourne, say contention. All right. So Isaac's men then dug another well. But again, there was a dispute over it. So Isaac named it Sitnah, which means his hostility. Abandoning that one, Isaac moved on, dug another well. This time there was no dispute over it. Finally, so Isaac named the place Rehoboth, which means open space, for he said, at last, the Lord has created enough space for us to prosper in this land. From there, Isaac moved to Beersheba, where the Lord appeared to him on the night of his arrival and said, he reiterated his promise that he gave to Abraham. I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you, and I will bless you, and I will multiply your descendants, and they will become a great nation, and I will do this because of my promise to Abraham, my servant. Then Isaac built an altar there and worshiped the Lord, set up his camp at that place, and his servants dug another well. That other well is a generational well. It's still there today, just outside. It's in old Beersheba. It's just outside of the city of Beersheba. And that well has been supplying life for a city for hundreds upon thousands of years. And I love this story because it's a picture for us around church. It's a prophetic picture for us around what it is to build churches. That last verse in that scripture talked about Isaac built an altar and then Isaac's servants dug a well. These are two prophetic pictures of what building churches and planting churches is all about, where we dig wells and we build altars. And that's really the title of my message this morning, is God's called us to dig wells and to build altars. To dig wells, there's a spiritual, obviously it's a metaphor. There's a spiritual picture of what this is all about. Digging wells and building altars. Say it after me. We dig wells and we build altars. When I first began to preach this series, it became a revelation to me, and God began to talk to us. We'd become the senior pastors in the year 2000. 29 and 27 years old, didn't really have a lot of idea what we were doing, but we had good people around us like Russell and Rita Smith helping us and lots of other great people who are still in our church today. And we felt like our church was 8 years old and we hadn't at that point been able to get even a rental. We'd tried and hadn't been able to get a facility. We kind of had a midweek office for a while, but we were in and out of venues and it was problematic. We were in the Kiwanis Community Centre, a little like the Karalaika Centre in Melbourne where we started. And you'd come in on a Sunday morning. The Catholics were 8 till 9. We had about 30 minutes to set up after the Catholics left. It usually smelt like the party that was happening on the Saturday night. Very often the floor was sticky because beer had been drunk there. And then there was other particular smells that some of you may recognize, others may not, as the leftovers of the party from Saturday night. So we knew God wanted us to take some ground, to get, we knew with an absolute conviction that it's the will of God for churches to take land. It's spiritual to take land. We began to pray and dream about where we might be able to lease as a permanent lease, as a stepping stone. And it was amazing the contention that came over just a leased facility. God gave us a scripture. We walked through a building not far down the road here, affectionately known as the Green Building. We've got a photo of it here. We stood outside that green building with Pastor Chris Pringle, and we prayed over that building. We had all night, half nights of prayer on the other side. Just want to throw that photo up. Oh, no, my multimedia man's gone. Oh, there it is. Good man. So that's the Green Building. That's a very young Pastor John and Danielle. Melbourne, you're watching this at the moment. That's with Pastor Chris. We gave her a green scarf. You can pull that down. We gave her a green scarf and she kind of wore it and prayed and believed with us that we would get this building. Unfortunately, the guy in the building had no intention of moving at all. He was a panel beater. We would go and visit him and talk to him and encourage him. We talked to the owner. The owner said, that's a perfect place for a church. But if the guy leaves, you can have it. So we prayed and we contended and we prayed and we contended. In fact, we began to take steps of faith. We asked the owner if it was okay if we went for a material change of use, which is council changing the use of that building to being a place where we could worship, not just the panel beaters. And we went and I remember seeing the tenant and just going, do you mind if we put this application in? Because it's going to have a sign out the front. You don't want to move, but we'd love to get this. You know, and he's like, well, whatever, humor me, just have a go. I'm not moving. And so we kept praying. We're taking steps of faith. Council application goes in. And then the council application comes back. And again, he's not moving. And then eventually we say, let's take up an offering to fit out the green building that the man's not moving out of. Who loves crazy faith? God is moved by crazy faith. It's kind of how it works. So we took up an offering to fit it out in our very first offering. Maybe 150 people in the church. It was $120,000 for the fit out of the offering. And when we gave that offering, something broke in the spirit. It was like a buildup of prayer and fasting and steps of faith and giving. And then something shifted and suddenly the guy's heart changed and we literally helped him move. I remember some of our guys packing up stuff on the back of his truck and moving him down the road, and we looked after him and helped him, and we moved him. And so we signed this lease, which is the next photo with two very young-looking guys there, Russell and myself, wearing green because green was the color. This was our prophetic color. And we're wearing green, and what you'll see, Melbourne, just bringing you on the journey, that's the lease for the green building, which we moved into. In fact, we didn't wait till it was fitted out. We moved into it, and our first service, Neil Newman, was playing guitar in the back of an old ute that hadn't been moved out from the panel beaters yet. But we were taking steps. So you can put that one down. And we began to meet in that place, and we had 150 people, and over the next 3 years grew to about 450 people. We did all sorts of crazy stuff. I found a really cool photo. Just put the next one up. We had crazy services. This is a blast from the past. This is what you're going to do, Melbourne, in the next couple of weeks. It's called a Facing Your Fears service. Just joking. And Sam brought along his pet python. I dressed up as Steve Irwin, which was tasteful because he was still alive, just to be clear. And so I dressed up as Steve Irwin. And then we got people like Ann Bowman to come and touch the python to face her fear of snakes as a symbolic act of getting set free from fear. Come on, who wants to bring back that? No, okay, not really. I didn't think so. But Melbourne, it'll be great for you guys. You're going to love it. Toby will have the python around his neck. And so I'm not quite sure if workplace health and safety would approve of this now, but we got all the kids' church to line up and touch the snake. Thank you, Sam. Yeah, just a beautiful day was had. So anyway, we were young and reckless. And we broke through on that day. So here's the thing. This is what happens. In the spirit, we got to understand, because we are digging wells of spiritual life for people. I'll talk about that in a moment. And we're breaking through to build altars of encounter. But there's anything that's taking spiritual ground, that's going to have generational impact, that's going to change lives and lives of families and families. As Julie shared here today, and I know we have had testimonies, but as Julie got saved, her daughters have got saved, and her mother has got saved, and her grandkids have got saved, and there's four generations who have been part of our church. What is that? That's generational blessing. And of course the devil's going to oppose any church taking ground in a way that's going to allow us to break through. Now here's the cool thing. In the process of getting that green building, we as a church broke through into what I would call an anointing for buildings. And so we broke into this building. And the great news for Melbourne is, when we started in Melbourne, just a couple of photos, we were in the Karalaika Centre. And we were doing set up, I think we've got one here of Kobe with the Ministry of Signs and Wonders. This is Kobe, who's a great young leader in our church. And that is officially the Ministry of Signs and Wonders, just in case you're wondering. Yep. And so that we began to meet in the Karalaika Centre, and then we also met in the school. So if you go to the next photo, we've got Steve and Mickey and Dan Frecker, and we're in Pack Up and Set Down. In fact, but here's the cool thing. Rather than being 10 years of Pack Up and Set Down before we got into our own building, a leased building in Melbourne, it was 2 years. In fact, we didn't have a lot of Pack Up and Set Down because mostly we were online for COVID, but we won't talk about that. But we had a bit of Pack Up and Set Down. But really, in June 2022, so 2 years after we started, miraculously, so understand this. Through contending in prayer and contending in fasting and contending in giving, we develop anointings and breakthrough. And something gets on a church. And so when we go there and we drove around and began to pray for Melbourne, we didn't have to contend hard for a building. Why? Because we've already broken through that as a church. It just flows. So what happened in Melbourne, and we're in this beautiful facility, if we put the next photo up, where we began to pray, and in 2022, we went outside this building, and it wasn't those signs, but we realized that it had been a church, and the church wasn't meeting, and we began through a series of miracles. Come on, does that language sound familiar? Through a series of miracles, and I won't go through them all today, but we got in touch with the local team, we got in touch with the national people who had the lease on this building, INC, and the team, and some of the guys are still in our church there in Melbourne, people like David and Janice, awesome people who are on the previous church's board, and they made the decision. We took over the lease because it took pressure off their church, which wasn't meeting. And they gave us we took the lease on, but they gave us over $100,000 worth of equipment, sound, lighting, 3 drum sets, 20 table tennis tables. It was amazing. I mean, how does that work? Because when we contend and we break through, we get an anointing on something that allows a flow. So when we do our next church location, it's teasing, that next one, the building's just going to be easy. Why? Because we've broken through. So where we are right now is we've broken through in leased facilities, and leased facilities are great, but at the end of the day, we don't want to spend the rest of our life renting. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Just here on the sunny coast, it's about $500,000 a year for all the rent and the facilities and all the stuff that we pay for this building. That's why our Vision Builders is all about the current and future facilities of both of our locations. So people are giving over and above their tithe so that we can stay in this facility, pay off the debt on the land that we currently own here on the Sunshine Coast, do fit out for our Melbourne location so that we can make it really friendly for kids and families, particularly on the left-hand side. Really, we want to do that up. But the ultimate aim is that we're going to have land and build buildings that will be generational, that will be paid off. And one day, when I'm not the senior pastor of this church anymore, but I'm on the sausage sizzles and looking after a few new Christians and going along to intercessors, it'll be in a building that's debt-free because a group of people got a vision for something that would last from generation to generation. And the same thing is going to happen in Melbourne. We'll have a few years of growing and getting our building done, but here's what's going to happen. And you hear it in the dream for the decade, because we first broke through on the Sunshine Coast. We're breaking through here. We own land, so we've got the land-owning anointing, but it's the right land and buildings is where we go. Are we doing okay here today? So we're on a journey together, C3 Powerhouse Melbourne East, C3 Powerhouse Sunshine Coast. Those of you who are watching at home, we're digging wells and we're building altars. It's a prophetic picture of the church. What does it look like to dig wells? Well, when they would dig wells, ultimately the wells would dig until they hit an underground spring. And that underground spring would then well up, and it would be a spring that you could build a community around. And they would pitch their tents around those springs. And those springs would be there to feed families. And those springs would be there to feed cattle and sheep and livestock. And those springs were literally life to those communities. Just as that was a physical well that was being dug and a physical life, in the spirit, church is about digging a spiritual well that has a spiritual life. And so every church location that we have is about digging the wells of salvation so that people can walk into a physical location. The majority, the vast, I think it's in the 90% of people who come to faith in Christ, do so in a church service. They do so in a building. They do so where the Word of God is preached, or they're in a Sunday school where the Word is preached. And so the well of salvation, I love this. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3 says, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." As a church, this is our number one focus. It's our true north. The buildings and land are all very important, but they're right back here behind the anointing for winning souls to Christ. Your kids who aren't in the house of God right now, come on. Your friends who aren't in the house of God right now. Your family who aren't walking with Jesus right now. We are digging wells of salvation. We're digging wells of the presence of God. I love it. So people walk into Melbourne on a Sunday morning. They walk here, the sunny coast, on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, and there's a well of the presence of God that's been dug. We don't recommend that. That's that other haze that we're not using. All right. There's a well of God's presence and His love that we've dug through. And I'll tell you how we dig it in a moment. There's a well of worship. There's a well of healing. People come into the house of God and they experience the healing power of God emotionally, mindset-wise, physically. Healing relationally, restoration of marriage, the grace of God. It's a flow. It's an underground flow from the Spirit of God that you and I dig these wells. Wells of provision and abundance. And these wells, then they flow back into your life and my life, and your home becomes, just as the house of God becomes a well, your home becomes a well. And in your home, there's a presence of God. And in your home, there's healing. And in your home, you've dug these wells of love and strong marriage and strong family. And there's something by coming to the house of God together where we dig a corporate well that we then take back into our own families and our own lives. So how do you dig wells? Well, with a shovel, obviously. Excavator would be nice. But in the spirit, how do you dig wells? How do you dig wells of salvation, wells of healing, wells of the love of God, wells of deliverance, wells of freedom? These are the wells that we dig. How do you dig those? I think Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, he talked about three things. And these are what I would say the three of the primary things that God has given us to dig wells. And he went through them and he gave instruction. And he said, when you pray, pray like this. When you fast, fast like this. And when you give, give like this. This was the instruction. Jesus was talking about what I would say are three of the great well-digging tools, spiritual tools that we have. We pray together. Come on, revival prayer is coming up. It's on a fortnightly basis in our church. We pray together. And then we fast together. June, I believe it's the 8th. I think we're kicking off, something like that. July, whatever. We missed it. July the 8th. July the 8th, together, a 10-day fast. Now, you don't have to have a church fast to fast, but I know some people, the only fast that we do is when the church is fasting. So together, it'll be our second 10-day fast of the year. And it's through fasting and prayer that we're digging in the Spirit wells that are a flow of people. And then the third thing you talked about is giving. Giving is one of the most powerful spiritual tools that you and I can have. It's when we give over and above our tithe. The tithe is just where we return our first tenth of our income to God, of our increase, whether it's income or profit that we've made or whatever it is, and we return the first tenth to God. And what we're basically saying in that is, God, it's all yours. All the money that I have, I'm a steward of. You're the owner of that. And so you require me to return the tenth to your house so that there'll be food in your house, so there'll be spiritual food and teaching in the house. You require me to do that. And so as I do that, your promise is that your protection and provision around my life. So the tithing is like base level Christianity. It's pretty much a step to go, it's all yours, God, I trust you. Tithing's not actually about being generous. When we tithe, we're not being generous per se. Now, I know it gets the generous muscles going when you start to return that tenth to God if you've never done that. I know it can be hard to get your head around, but ultimately tithing's a test where God says, do you trust me? And can I trust you with more? Because if you're not a tither, essentially the number 10 is a number for testing. So if you're not a tither, you're essentially saying, God, I don't want any more. And you can't trust me with more. Oh, it's getting quiet in here. Is it getting quiet in Melbourne as well? So that's the tithe. The tithe, so you know, when that big bonus comes in and you're looking at it and wanting to spend it all, and God just prompts you by His Holy Spirit, don't forget to tithe, because I'm the source of all of that increase. I'm the one, I know you're working, but I'm the one providing blessing in your life. And so the first tenth, you're like, quick, get that into the house of God. That's the test. And then God goes, awesome, I can trust you. Yeah. The tithe's about God being, can He trust you today, church? Yeah. Melbourne, can God trust you with increase in your life? That's it. And then, but generosity is over and above the tithe. Generosity is when we say, okay, I'm going to sow sacrificially into something bigger than myself, where I don't get necessarily a direct benefit, but I'm going to sow. And when that's the third part of digging wells. Pray, fast, give. Pray, give, fast. I'm just mucking with you, Teresa. I'm messing up the order. Give fast. Give real fast. Pray, give, fast. Pray, give, fast. These are the ways that we fast, give, pray, whatever order you want to put it in. These are the spiritual grenades that God gives us to take territory, to dig wells. It's the grace of God on our life. I love it. Pray, fast, give. So we build altars. We dig wells, and a flow in the Spirit begins. And then we build altars. Hallelujah. Shakam bam rek. I'm excited about this. What do you mean we build altars? So if wells represent anointings that flow in a church, altars represent places of encounter. Places of worship. Transformation happens on the altar. The amount of times I've stood on an altar or I've worshiped God and we've worshiped God together and there's been an exchange. Something's broken off me and something's happened where I've got outside of my restrictions. The altar is a place of transformation. It's a place of surrender. Church is an altar where we come, and when we come and we worship, we're reminding ourselves, my life's not mine. My life is yours, Jesus. And I lift my hands to worship you, to remind myself that you're not just a little add to my world. You're not just a little, I'll give you a bit of time here or there. No, I'm surrendering my life. My whole life belongs to you. It's an altar. And I stand again on the altar in the house of God and say, Jesus, my whole life belongs to you. I'll follow you with all my life. It's all yours. And it's on the altar of surrender that we discover our destiny. It's on the altar of sacrifice that God speaks and does things in our heart to position us for the call of God in our life. We're digging wells and we're building altars. And there will be contention over that. Our vision builder directors here, David and Marina on the Sunshine Coast, a great example to me. Over the last 10 years, they came into our church, backslidden Christians. Came into our church. That's right, isn't it, David? Backslidden Christians. Very backslidden. $60,000 in personal debt. Vision to accumulate wealth. No vision beyond themselves for others. And as they became part of our church, they began to drink from the wells that others had already dug in prayer, giving, and fasting. And they began to get transformed in their heart, and God began to redirect their focus and their life. They began to learn principles around managing their finances better, and God began to apprehend them, and they rededicated their lives to Christ here. And then what I love began to happen is they began to, rather than being focused on a personal accumulation and personal success, they began to get focused on, okay, God, how can you use us to make a difference in other people's lives? And so they began to give small little amounts. They began to tithe, they began to manage their budget, they began to be good stewards of what they own, and they began to learn to pray to exercise their faith. And over a period of years, not days, not weeks, but over a period of years, God began to get their lives turned around. Their world, their personal world encountered healing, their marriage, their family, out of debt, successful in business, bought their own home, leading our vision builders. But then this is what I love. Marina's mom got saved. Watched her get baptized here. Just recently, she got radically healed of all this pain in her body. Our last baptism, your beautiful niece Nina, who'd come here to help from Germany and help the family. She's given her life to Christ. Never experienced church like this. What's going on? She's drinking at the well of salvation that you and I have dug in the Spirit. She's drinking, and there's a transformation happening because the altar of worship and surrender and sacrifice has been built. And generation after generation after generation will be transformed. Why? Because we're digging wells. And we're building altars. We're digging well in Melbourne. And we're building altars of sacrifice so that generation after generation can be transformed. That's what we're doing. Thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes right now. Melbourne, close your eyes together. Has there been contention over facilities? Oh my gosh, you would not believe the contention that we've had over our land in the last 2 years. You would not believe it. Ridiculous amounts of legal fees, contention, problems, drama. Has there been contention over the building we're in right now? Oh, we've tried to buy this place so many times. And just because I'm a Christian, I'm not going to say anything else. Contention. Will there eventually be a breakthrough that will echo through the nations? Absolutely there will. Will we eventually buy land and build here on the Sunshine Coast and then buy our own facilities in Melbourne? Absolutely we will. Breakthrough. But we do this through prayer, through fasting, through giving. Cornelius had an angel visit him. And the angel said, Cornelius, your prayer and your giving to the poor has attracted God's attention. Your prayer and your giving have brought about a breakthrough of salvation to the Gentiles. I thank you. Father, help us today as we look at partnering together in this new Vision Builders year. Speak to us so that we can be part of a church that brings transformation, healing, and generational change. We ask it in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask both locations today and next week on Celebration Sunday. Just if you're part of our church, if you're not part of our church, it's awesome to have you here today as you catch a sense of why we exist. But if you're not part of our church, no pressure at all. But for those, this is your church home. If you're not a tither, begin to become a tither. That's your first step. But if you want to be part of lives being transformed, why don't you pray right now and ask God, how do I be part of this? Just begin to open up your heart. We're going to talk some more about this. How do I be a part of this? How do you want me to give? Put a figure in our heart. Talk to us about how to participate. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to hand back to Melbourne, to Tobias. God bless you in Melbourne.